The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back.
Lord knows they'll try to silence our
top of the second hour of today's National Intel Report. This Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. And again, I'm your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller, and we're sort of picking up. I mean, we started where hour two of yesterday's National Intel Report began, you know, with the clip that we played from the first segment of hour two yesterday, and the police abuse, which also the deranged thinking that would allow this sort of thing to happen. Also lends itself to what we see happening at a federal level, so to speak, with, like I said, the FBI, DHS, BATF, as we discussed this morning on Road Warrior Radio, this perpetuation of overreach and abuse of power. I've been referring the past couple of days again to Patrick Porter's 2015 article, Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State, which is a brilliant piece that I think everyone should read. And, you know, you start to understand what's really going on here, and it's no surprise that Philip B. Haney is not celebrated as a hero. You know, Trevor Aronson is not celebrated as a national hero. It's not just an isolated incident. It's cultural. It's endemic. And it's toxic. It's very problematic. History tells us, or if we are to learn the lessons of history, that what's happening in America is very dangerous. And so, you know, some folks might say, I mean, here's an article speaking of Philip B. Haney, WorldNet Daily, WND.com from 2016, Orlando Mosque tied to case Hillary State Department scrubbed. Talking about Omar Mateen and Sadiq Mateen. By the way, or excuse me, Omar, Mayor Sadiq Mateen. But by the way, how many of us remember that Omar Mateen's dad was an FBI informant for 10 or 11 years at least? Right up to the moment of the alleged incident at the Pulse nightclub. It just sort of went away, didn't it? Philip B. Haney exposed the whole network where informants try to, you know, FBI informants try to suborn other folks and draw them into the sorts of plots that Trevor Aronson talks about. Philip B. Haney blew the whistle on it. And for those, again, those who don't know, the best example you can find of when this sort of thing goes wrong, in my opinion, is Craig Montiel, the story of Craig Montiel. Craig, M-O-N-T-E-I-L-H, Craig Montiel. And you look up Craig Montiel, you start running across stories like the ex-FBI informant with a change of heart. Quote, there is no real hunt, it's fixed. That was a Guardian story back in 2012. 2010 Common Dreams story, alarmed mosque goers turn FBI informant over to FBI. That's what happened in the Craig Montiel story. The Operation Gladio effort to create terrorists and plug them into, you know, terrorist plot, insert terrorist here. The FBI's programmed to do that. And when you do that, you can continue to ratchet up the national security state. It's a system that feeds on itself. It's a sickness. And like any other addiction, it feeds on itself. Philip B. Haney and his work at DHS exposed it, exposed the network, but I dare say didn't quite have the connections to, you know, covert, you know, ops and operators that are working from behind the scenes by proxy to foment this kind of thing. But there are some hot spots. You know, the Darul Uloom Institute in Pembroke Pines is one of them. You can read story after story that predate even the 9/11 era of the FBI doing this. So, you know, some might say, well, that's you just mentioned a WorldNet Daily story, WND, and, you know, that's, you know, right-wing, extreme, sure. But, you know, Philip B. Haney testified back in June 2016 before Congress, and you can go to C-SPAN and find the video debate on radical Islam and terrorism. That includes testimony from Philip B. Haney and Zudi Jasser, who is one of the few people you'll hear talk about Wahhabism. Philip B. Haney gets to talk about Tablighi Jamaat. They talk about Wahhabism, Salafism, political Islam. It's a point that Zudi Jasser used to make. He doesn't seem to make it so much anymore. You hear about those distinctions in these groups. Where is that? Where is that discussion? That's important information. And it gets occluded and, you know, just memory hold by sort of obfuscation and occlusion because there's other important things to talk about. It should be a focal point. But if we do that, then we'll come right back to Trevor Aronson's point that the FBI is the terror factory. And for that matter, so is the CIA, DHS, TSA, BATF, name an agency. They're all involved in doing this. And for those who don't know, you start digging in, you start doing some homework, you find out that guys like Kofor Black, for example, remember Kofor Black in the immediate post 9/11 era, the gloves come off. Kofor Black partnering with Enrique Rick Prado to create a network of assets that these agencies can use to do this kind of stuff without that activity being traced back to the agency. Problem? So whether it's that or, you know, Sibel Edmonds telling us that immediately after 9/11, the federal government and certain agencies and certain people were shuttling suspects out of the country. Or other examples of this kind of stuff, it's a problem that needs to be fixed. It needs to be addressed. And I dare say it begins with all of us and a proper ordering of our own thinking and not to be drawn into all of the lies, the rhetoric, the propaganda, the Machiavellian intrigue and deception. Back to the phones. Hopefully that makes sense. Back to the phones, Ed in Florida. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Chris? As your listeners may or may not know, today House Resolution 8 was passed by a vote of 240 to 190.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the most draconian gun bills passed since 1994, if I believe it was the Brady Law. And not only does it limit the right of me transferring a gun to a family member outside my immediate family, but also would outlaw all private sales of pistols and rifles, which is legal in the state of Florida. Now, I can't believe that it passed from that much of a margin, 240 to 190. I believe Chuck E. Schumer in the Senate has a much more draconian bill than this one. But there was one congressman from the state of Texas. What was his name? Crenshaw. Let's see. I just had it a few seconds ago. And pretty much what he had to say was, what they don't mean is this. They don't mean background checks at a gun dealer. What they do mean is that you can no longer transfer a gun to a friend. You can no longer let your girlfriend or boyfriend use your weapon if you leave and they're at home trying to defend themselves. They could be made a felon if they use that weapon. This is a pretty big overreach, quote.
And it sounds a lot like the story that we've been telling on this network from years ago in Britain where, you know, a man defends himself only to find himself in prison. And so,
all I can say is I hope there remains Americans who will not comply because where there is gun registration.
Imagine, folks, you know, you put this in context, and so someone's at home, something happens, somebody breaks in or something like that, and a person tries to defend themselves and find themselves under arrest for illegal use of a firearm when all they were doing was protecting themselves.
Florida, we have Stand Your Ground. That will probably wind up going to the courts again.
Right.
If this bill is passed, it does not leave a man to protect his home or family. Criminals can come in at will. And my grandfather used to say, you know, if you shoot, then better be judged by 12 and carried by 6. But that's no longer the case today in 2019. It seems even though the demographics are changing in Florida, which used to be very Republican, is now turning into a third world nation where everything is going to be as the Democratic state legislature is told to vote by AIPAC.
Right. And or, you know, whatever the tyrant's majority is, absolutely.
And it's like in a quandary, do you comply or do you not comply to an unconstitutional in the military? I mean, there are unlawful laws that you do not really have to follow. And the same should apply with these so-called gun confiscation laws, going back to the 1968 Gun Control Act. Yep. And who was the initial signer or introducer of that? Emanuel Seller. I mean, the list goes on from Seller to Metzenbaum to, Chuck E. Schumer to Barbara Boxer Levy. I'm just saying it's a certain tribe of people who want to disarm the American public. And facts are facts. Call me anti-Semitic if you want. But just go through each gun legislation bill. Find out who the sponsor is. And you'll 9 times out of 10, it's going to be somebody who's a dual citizen from a certain country which we really can't talk about anymore. And it angers me. This would not have happened 50 years ago in my grandfather's generation. This would have never happened in my father's generation.
To the heart of my point when I say when we still had the World War II generation, we still had some sense. There were lines they wouldn't cross.
Absolutely, but they're gone now. And we have your Vietnam vets who are now pushing in their 70s. And they're not going to do much of anything but just live out the retirement. And we have a lot of guys coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan who pretty much know, they know what's going on. But they're just a few hundred thousand. I mean, you've got how many gun owners in America? I forget the exact number. It's in the tens of millions. There are more guns in this country than anywhere else in the world. But if they talk about confiscation, which eventually will happen, is it going to wind up like California where people will peacefully just hand over their AR-15s and their AK-47s and their hunting rifles, or will they take a stand like our ancestors did at Concord? I don't know. It's a 50-50 toss.
Well, here's, the first step is that people need to get knowledged up. And I've been saying for a long time now on Road Warrior Radio that we need to maybe go back in history a little bit, listen to what John Adams said, listen to what Adams said about James Otis specifically, listen to what James Otis said. And there were important lessons for us to learn about liberty and freedom. And the, you know, the crowd that you're talking about in the context that I'm thinking of, I would equate them to the Judaizers of Galatians 2, these folks brought in secretly to spy out our liberty and bring us back under bondage. And so, you know, you look at the headlines, H.R. 8, to me, the headlines are strangely silent, you know, a lot.
Absolutely.
There's not much, there hasn't been much talk, which is a very curious kind of thing when this is such a big thing. But we've heard in leading up to the passage of H.R. 8, there's been a lot of revisiting the Parkland tragedy. And to me, it's a disgusting, sick kind of thing to capitalize on tragedy, especially when, in my view, it's a strategy of tension incident from the start. It's, again, it just really, to me, punctuates the sickness and psychopathy at work in our society.
There were more guns available when I was a boy. You could literally bring them to school.
Yeah, and we did. I did.
I did, too. Yeah. And, you know, I can remember when, you know, you had to pick up, you put your 12-gauge or you put your 30-odds, you know, 30-30 Winchester, which I had, you put it on your back, and nobody bothered you. I mean, the cops just drove by. Right. It was a natural thing. Today, if somebody sees a weapon, I mean, the first thing they do is they call the police. Our mentality has been so brainwashed to think guns are bad, guns are evil. People who own guns are evil. That's not the case.
Yeah.
Not the case. I mean, why do we have this collective guilt if one maniac goes out and kills 10 people? Why should the other 60 million people be affected by it? We have enough gun laws on the books now. That's like saying if a drunk driver goes out and kills a busload of kids, maybe we should ban all cars. I mean, where's the logic behind that? It just doesn't make any sense.
And it's a strategy. People don't realize there's a thing called beggar thy neighbor. And when you want to balkanize people, when you want to divide, you know, actively divide them along more and more specious lines, I would say, one of the ways to do that effectively is a strategy called beggar thy neighbor, where you seek to give a disenfranchised, so-called, you know, ostensibly disenfranchised minority benefits at the expense of the majority. And obviously, over time, that will upset people, especially if you foment the conflict by harping on it. And the opposite of that is what I call reverse beggar thy neighbor, where you punish the majority for the sins of the minority, like you're talking about. And again, you know, that causes conflict.
Many years ago, make a long story short, back in the 70s and 80s, I came across a copy of the the Protocols of the Leonard Elders of Zion. I thought it was bullcrap back then, you know. 40 years later, you reread
it.
Isn't it
crazy?
It's like a diagram on how to take over not only a country, but a world.
Yeah, and so who's following it, and why is it happening in exact accordance with the protocols if it's not a real strategy? I'm not saying the document isn't spurious to some degree, but the strategy is being implemented, so hello?
One has to wonder.
Yeah.
And, you know, if history tells us, if anything is true, that, you know, going back to gun registration, confiscation usually leads to imprisonment and eventually, you know, communism or whether fascism or whatever dictatorship you want to call it.
Totalitarianism.
I think Americans today, yes, we've grown so... Yeah, absolutely, a great book, which you really can't find that much. You go on Amazon, it's a few $100 if you want to buy it. But my point is, you know, we need to stand up, we need to do something. If we can't depend upon our congressmen and senators, like the famous quote by Kennedy, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable.
Yep. Well said.
Thank you very much, Chris. God bless.
You too. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Thank you. know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
A serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. I think America as a whole in 1973 and 1974.
There you go. You really did say it. And so that's a strategy. You know, and those who aren't paying attention might think, you know, why do I say, you know, HRA, these people capitalizing on tragedy is disgusting, is sick, especially in light of the fact that it's probably a strategy of tension incident. It's hard to, when we start digging into the details of what happened or didn't happen at Parkland last Valentine's Day, hard to argue in my humble estimation that it was a, you know, some kind of, you know, spontaneous organic event. But setting aside the fact that I have trouble believing that a kid who can barely tie his shoes, literally according to the family that he stayed with, the Sneed family, he could barely operate a microwave. So a kid who confesses that the voices in his head told him to take an Uber to the school and execute some Jason Bourne-style operation, including costume changes, what, 2, 3, 4 costume changes, and then walk out cool as a cucumber. Setting aside the fact that I find that whole narrative completely problematic, to say the least, what has happened as a result is, you know, a capitalizing on tragedy. And what do I mean? Well, you read the Yahoo News story today about what Ed was talking about. House passes first major gun bill in over 20 years. Oh, yay. You know, never mind that the Second Amendment means what it says what it means. Clear and plain language. Shall not be infringed is pretty clear. And it has nothing to do with hunting. It doesn't even have anything to do with personal protection or family protection. A well-regulated militia. Do we have that? What is the militia? Who cares? Doesn't matter. I guess since we don't have it anymore, you know, don't use it, you won't have it. You know, use it or lose it. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people, it's the inherent right. It's implied. It's not stated because it's not granted by the Constitution. It's not a constitutional right, which is an erroneous statement so many people make. It's constitutionally safeguarded in the Bill of Rights. It's enshrined. It is enumerated. But it's not granted by the Constitution. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The inherent, God-given right. You know, like the Declaration of Independence, those opening words, you know, that among those, in other words, including but not limited to in legal terms, right? So you read this article, Yahoo article about the passage of H.R. 8. House passes first major gun bill in over 20 years. Here's an excerpt. McBath said in her testimony on the bill, "The overwhelming bipartisan support for universal background checks symbolizes the power of advocacy and the incredible power of the survivors' family, family members and students who have shared their stories." Yuck. Pardon me, but puke. Seriously, it's disgusting. Disgusting. I mean, is there anything sicker than capitalizing on tragedy? And that's really all it is. And again, going back to the specious nature of the whole story and what followed after Parkland, you're telling me that hotels granting, like just giving conference rooms to kids who aren't even old enough to vote, and airlines chartering entire commercial airliners for round trips of kids to go talk, you know, I mean, all of the curious and questionable aspects of this story, none of that we're not supposed to talk about any of that. And it's not sick to capitalize on tragedy like this. I think it is. I think it's disgusting. And if you think, like Rahm Emanuel, that you never want a serious tragedy to go to waste, and what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. The Wall Street Journal still has that video 11 years later posted on YouTube titled Rahm Emanuel on the Opportunities of Crisis. If you think there is an opportunity in crisis, then you're probably an arsonist too, like Rahm Emanuel, and you should have your head checked. Because normal people don't think like that. Normal people, psychopaths, think like that. Arsonists think like that. And we should not allow psychopathic, deranged thinking to guide public policy. You know what I mean? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's National Intel Report, this Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. Again, I'm Chris Hinckley sitting in for John Stad Miller. I'm the regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network. A few final thoughts on this, and we'll go back to the phones. I think, you know, maybe everyone should read, go look up Cooper versus Terrorism by Jeff Cooper. Colonel Jeff Cooper. Remember him? Common sense that, you know, from a bygone era, apparently. Hopefully not. But go read that for those who haven't. Cooper versus Terrorism. And by the way, folks who think that they're doing good things overseas, read what Jeff Cooper said about the ninja. Put a mask on your face. There's a story, speaking of Parkland, from last December, December 2018. Remember this one? Cops and schools had no duty to shield students in Parkland shooting, says judge who tossed lawsuit. Getting back to the point I was making earlier, there was that story. Remember that? Or Colton Hobb saying, you know, Real Clear Politics, Fox News, and some others pointed it out, Tucker Carlson tonight. The Real Clear Politics story from February of last year, Florida shooting survivor Colton Hobb, CNN told me I needed to stick to the script, entire town hall scripted. So, you know, I mean, whether it's that or a more nefarious, you know, undercurrent, which I was speaking to earlier, it's scripted. And speaking of all this discussion, last February, 3 days after, the day after last year's tragedy at Parkland, Alan Reynolds published a piece over at Cato titled, Are Mass Shootings Becoming More Frequent? And the answer, spoiler alert, or the TLDR, I guess, is not really. But we sure hear about it a lot more, don't we? And the last thing I'll say on this is folks need to read John Lott's book. You don't hear about John Lott's book much for obvious reasons, but the title, More Guns, Less Crime, Understanding Crime and Gun Control Laws, really kind of says it all. More guns, less crime, which was the point. And no one wants to argue with John Lott because the facts are the facts, regardless of propaganda and spin, you know, regardless of lies, damn lies, and statistics. And so, you know, it's, again, it's all about getting our thinking straight. And we are propagandized to death. You know, Ed made the point, will people get excited and understand that there's a problem? People don't understand there's a problem. It's not just the fact that we've been gelded and inured. We have a, you know, capitulatory Caesar milquetoast society now, if we, you know, didn't in recent generations. But, you know, the propaganda has people thinking that these psychopaths engineering the reordering and reorganization of American society are doing it somehow in your best interest, my best interest. I do not suffer under that delusion. I dare say most, if not all, of the people who listen to this broadcast do not either. Just to punctuate it, and then back to the phones, I keep mentioning John Adams and his letter specifically to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818, when he said the revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people. And he made the point that, you know, you had these 13 colonies. They were all very disparate in their, you know, religion and proclivities, the point that we don't really understand these days. But he said, when they saw the powers, the throne, renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all the securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, they thought it their duty to pray for the Continental Congress and the 13 States Congresses, etc. And that has to happen in America today. We have to understand the FBI is not an organization that protects the average American citizen. It's not designed to do that. CIA doesn't, DHS doesn't, you know, BATF doesn't, TSA doesn't. I mean, how many terrorist plots has TSA thwarted? None, let's be honest. Come on. So all this groping and, you know, giving people cancer with backscatter machines and other fun things that are coming to a town, that technology's coming to a town near us and with 5G, it's fun. It's great. But it's not. We need to start being honest about that. That is not to say that there aren't good, honest people who get involved and try to do something good in those organizations. Of course there are. And I would never imply or state that that is not the case. Of course it is. And that, you know, if you're the wolf, you want to masquerade in sheep's clothing. What organization had a wolf in sheep's clothing as their mascot? Of course you want to do that. That's a great cover. But if you don't understand how things really work in that context, go listen to Richard Thieme's remarks at DEF CON 26 last year. Listen to him tell a story of a CIA official who invented a biologically safe agent to destroy the coca plant, who was told from the White House essentially there are too many people in the executive branch making too much money from cocaine trafficking to do this kind of thing. That's how things really work, and that needs to change, obviously. And it's just been more of the same. You know, it was that way with mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you know, with the OSS, conscripted to the devil's errand. And now, here we are. It's only gotten worse since then. Hopefully that makes sense. You understand. We need to, you know, more folks need to get religion, so to speak, in the fashion that John Adams mentioned. You know, when people saw, he wrote 200 years ago, when people saw the crown and the powers in authority under the crown renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all the securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, suddenly they directed their attention to the Continental Congress and the 13 states congresses, etc., for their safety, security, and protection. You know, you go back and you start reading what these guys wrote. Read John Adams writing about James Otis to William Tudor back in 1818. And it's just common sense. This is why people, you know, this is how people protect themselves. Then they get together, they assemble together in communities to, you know, do a better job, a more comprehensive job of protecting themselves. Instead of this deranged, you know, Alice in Wonderland nonsense that we see in here. Back to the phones. To the White Rose, right? Is that where we are now? Colorado. Oh, Andy. We have Andy back in Texas? I don't think so.
Yeah, we do.
Is this Andy?
Yes, this is Andy.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey. No, nice to talk to you, Chris. I like to call in on your show, but I work during the day, and turns out I hear your show at night. So, it's a repeat. Anyway, called in many times, found out that was the wrong way to go.
Darn it. Appreciate your listenership. Hope to talk to you on the broadcast sometime.
No, and I appreciate you taking over for John there. I mean, what I was getting at, I mean, you've crossed a whole array of things tonight, so... But I just wanted to put across to the American people that what they're living in is a series of contracts. And since the United States incorporated, and then all the incorporations are just subsidiaries of the corporation, we are all under contracts. And therefore, these codes and ordinances are just subsidiaries of contracts. The Constitution does not work under these contracts, because the Constitution does not authorize contracts. And so American people have been living under these contracts that, okay, I will pay for your license. So when you sign for a driver's license, you're signing a contract that you will obey their laws, their codes, their ordinances. If you fail to do that, when you go into court, you have a very good chance of winning, because the first thing you have to do is establish that it is a constitutional courtroom. The constitutional courtroom, if it is established, which is very hard, and sometimes you have to call a mistrial and move out of it. This is from personal experience. And then you have to come back again. You spend more time in jail if you can't make bail. So, but you do it just for the case of, you know, finding out if you have a constitutional courtroom. Finally, you get a constitutional courtroom, and they say, yes, contracts are what this is all about. And they don't say it in so many words. They're not going to come out and admit it to you. But that's exactly what this is all about. That's how they get these codes and ordinances, is because we sign contracts with our cities, with our counties, with our states, with our government. We sign contracts that we will abide by what it is that we're trying to do, whether it be boating, whether it be camping, whether it be driving your car, or whatever it might be. We're signing contracts, and that's what this thing is. It's a, and Al Whitney really explains this very well, and she's the one who got me going in this direction. But I found out much more that it is all about contracts. Once you bring it back to the root of the Constitution, then they have no premise. They can't go any further than that. And it's my thing is, just do not comply anymore. Stop the contracts with your state, your county, your federal, whatever. Stop the contracts. No longer sign these contracts. Just drive your car. Just go drive your boat. Go camping without paying the fee. Just do it. And when they take you into court, bring up the constitutional liability on that. The fact that you have no jurisdiction. And the only way you can do that is if you establish that the court is a constitutional courtroom. And that is the number one thing. And damn sure don't go in there with a lawyer, because they're not going to allow you to do that. Your lawyer is going to advise you not to do anything near that. But if you,
well, there's deal making. That's what those guys do. They, you know, they
exactly.
all play golf together, and so there are deals that are
that's
made.
The bar.
And, yeah.
That's
so
the bar.
That's a big animal. I've had my own.
It is,
experience.
But we need to do this.
Yeah, I've had my own experiences
anyway,
with it.
Anyway, that's what I had to say, bro.
Right on. Appreciate it, Andy.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
You bet, and thank you. You know. As far as contracts are concerned, the Constitution, you know, there are these little entry points into, you know, Alice in Wonderland territory. And Article 1, Section 8 is one of those places, one of those points of entry. The Commerce Clause is always upheld held up as the, you know, the constitutional safeguarding of contracts as supreme above the Constitution, or the contracts that we make. And so the problem becomes when you're contracting with administrative agencies, you know, have you signed a driver's license? Have you signed a Social Security card? In spite of the fact that FDR and the FDR administration said that would never be a form of identification, guess what? How many people remember that today? And there's been this transition that people don't realize. And it happened in a variety of ways. I agree. Al Whitney does a great job of documenting all of that and reminding us of that. Some of the high points along the way, you know, 1842 Swift versus Tyson established the common law, essentially, is the law of the land. And then about 100 years later, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins in 1938, which overturned the existing law of the land, the common law, the general federal common law, and we also got the Administrative Procedure Act. 1946, Congress passed the Administrative Procedure Act, and Senator Pat McCarran, the Senate Judiciary Chair, said on the Senate floor that the Administrative Procedure Act created, he said they had created a fourth branch of the federal government. He went on to clarify, and he said, so by the Constitution we have the executive, legislative, and judicial, and now the administrative. A fourth order in the tripartite plan of government, he said, which was initiated by the Founding Fathers. And he also said Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, was a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. Most folks don't realize that 120 years ago or so, the agency did not touch the citizen, so to speak. And now, you know, when you think about it, it's not the executive branch, the judicial branch, or the legislative branch that touches the citizen. It's the administrative branch. And it's referred to as a quasi-executive branch. Again, through Article 1, Section 8, through the executive branch, into Alice in Wonderland. Down the rabbit hole we go. That's another thing that needs to change. And Andy's right. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Yeah.
final segment of today's National Intel Report this Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. I appreciate the opportunity to sit in for John Stadmiller. I agree with Andy. Al Whitney does a fantastic job of shining a bright light on that issue. Tom Lacovara has done a good job. Ralph Winterode has done a very meticulous job. And, you know, others on this network. To me, this is a fantastic, you know, beacon for Public Broadcasting Network as far as that subject, among many others, is concerned, what I would call the administrative state discussion. Because there's a transition of law. If it's not constitutional, then what is it? And who's ever heard of William James? But, you know, his principles of judicial administration was sort of the administrative handbook, if you will. William Willoughby and William James. William Willoughby, excuse me, sort of putting figures together. William James and William Willoughby specifically. His Willoughby wrote Principles of Judicial Administration. Anyway, for those who want to look into it. But I would say the person who has done the most concise job of really pointing out the specifics of the deception around the administrative state and the 14th Amendment specifically is Bruce Ray Riggs. And anyone who hasn't heard, go to his YouTube channel, The Dirty Uncle Sam. Watch those videos that he put out. There are the short ones that are like 15, 16 minutes long, and then there's the longer one, 43 minutes or so. But they're comprehensive in that sense. And everyone should know that information. And if we all did, I mean, he goes to Congress and says, hey, what do you guys think of this? There's no objection. No one says, that's outrageous and you're crazy. Nope. Not rebutted. Not challenged. So we all should know that. Back to the phones. White Rose in Colorado. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good evening, Christopher. Thanks for taking my call. The Brady Bill. Sheriffs Mack and Prince won their case in the Supreme Court. The Brady Bill was declared unconstitutional, and yet all the gun stores keep enforcing this law. Whose job is it to tell or take these laws off the books when they're made on the books and declared unconstitutional? Nobody. That's who. That's the problem. Whose job is it to remove them, expunge them from the books so that nobody follows them?
As importantly as that, I would say from the minds of the people. It's a good point.
Yes. Well, if the gun stores keep telling you got to have a background check, the poor idiots going in there to buy a gun and get registered so that they know exactly where to go pick them up is going to go right along with them.
Yeah, it's a great point. Thanks for making it.
That's why I will never buy a gun in a gun store. You can't buy a gun in a gun store. You're a fool.
Right, and that's why, you know, as Ed was pointing out, hence we see the sort of end run on that effort, too, in H.R. 8.
Yep.
Thanks for your call. Please, appreciate
check it. Check out my website, please, thewhiterose.simplesite.com, SimpleSite.com, The White Rose. Please check it all out. Please.
We're out of time. Folks, I appreciate the opportunity once again to sit in for John Stadmiller. I hope it was informative. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.